Baba Akabo Jambo, and hello, Bankless Africa.
We are back again for season 7 of Bankless with, or rather of Bankless Africa, with the weekly Sats and Goe, bringing you reports, updates and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes across the globe. I am Miss Purple.
And I remain Neki.
Your highly esteemed decentralized reporters from Africa.
Today is the 25th of February. Just a quick one. Coincidentally, also the day of the national elections in Nigeria. So this goes out to every Nigerian that would be listening to this episode. I wish you all the best in today's elections and may the best candidate win. I will take a deep dive into how the currencies are doing today. Bitcoin still has remained at the $23,000 mark over the course of the past weeks. I'm sitting at $23,000.67. Ethereum has remained at the $1,500 mark, hovering around it, currently sitting at $1,599.78. Optimism still stays close to the $3 mark, currently sitting at $2.89. The Matic token currently sits at $1.41, and the Bank token currently sits at $0.007665. All of these numbers are numbers as of today as compared with 2 weeks ago, which was the last time we reported these numbers to you.
As we move into our national currencies, as Neki mentioned, these numbers or the comparisons are from 2 weeks ago. And if anything, I think in this way, we're seeing a lot more of an unfortunate downturn. I know that a lot of people, we know now that African our currencies tend to kind of have one direction, which tends to be downwards, which, you know, just because we're used to it does not make it okay, in my personal opinion, but it is what it is, I guess. We're going to start off with the Ghanaian cedi, which 2 weeks ago was at 1220, so 12.20 cedi to the dollar, and it's currently sitting at 12.87 cedi to the dollar. That is a downward turn of 5.49% in 2 weeks. Moving over to the Nigerian Naira, it is currently at 460.44 Naira to the dollar, down by 0.86% in 2 weeks from 459.49 Naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African Rand are currently at 18.42 Rand to the dollar, down by 4.58% from 2 weeks ago, which was 17.90 Rand and Luti to the dollar. The Kenyan shilling is currently at 126.53 shillings to the dollar, down by 1.224% from 2 weeks ago's 125 shillings to the dollar. And last, but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is currently at 619.68 franc to the dollar, down by 1.11% from 2 weeks ago's 612.90 franc to the dollar. Now, of course, we were a bit absent from last week, and the cat's out the bag for those of you that do follow us on Twitter. That is mainly because I was traveling to Accra, and on that, to share with you, we're just going to go through very quickly what has brought myself and a few other, you know, significant figures to be in Accra at the moment.
Well, as not a lot of people might be aware, but I think anybody who is very well vested in Web3 should be aware of this, that in the past week, we have had the Web3 Accra event, which has currently been hosted in Accra, Ghana. And it's a conference titled Africa Web3 Summit with a theme, the Network State.
Web3, of course, continues to see innovators looking to disrupt industries and systems as the barriers to initial entry are often minimal. Africa is not to be left behind, with artists, creators, thinkers, and those with financial abilities looking to expand and include the continent in the frontier. More and more events continue to find their way into the fray. One such event, as Nikki has already mentioned, is the Africa Web3 Summit by Web3 Accra. According to their website, it is a conference curated by Web3 Accra and its partners designed to showcase all things Web3, highlighting the latest trends and up-to-date market developments in blockchain, crypto, esports, NFTs, and the metaverse. The theme for this leg of the conference was the network state, which, according to the author of the book titled The Network State, Balaji Srinivasan, it can be defined as a highly aligned online community with the capacity for collective action that crowdfunds territory around the world and eventually gains diplomatic recognition from pre-existing states. This event was held this past week on the 23rd and 24th of February at the Accra International Conference Center. And for those who already follow at Web3 Accra on Twitter or Instagram, you would have seen that Vitalik and members of the Ethereum Foundation were also in attendance of this particular event. Of course, and Miss Purple. So from a personal standpoint, I think this has been one of those very phenomenal, poignant moments for us to be reminded, because, you know, for a lot of people, you tend to forget. People will know that, yes, Africa is in and Africa is using crypto. But I think a lot of people just assume everybody is just using it just to send money to each other. You know, we go beyond just that. We have entire groups of people who maybe perhaps they're not as large as we would hope, or maybe they're not as active, or maybe just simply not as recognized. But there is a lot of growth. There is a lot of innovation across the continent that is yet to see the light. So it is an honor to be at Web3 Accra and to see so many people, so many creators, so many innovators within the space looking to connect with each other and continue to evolve and move the continent across the scale of development further on. Next in our headlines from last week, Income Movement Rightful Share says it has launched its first unconditional crypto UBI in South Africa.
Now, Rightful Share, an income equality advocacy movement, says it has launched what they are calling an unconditional UBI. Now, UBI, for those who do not know, means a universal basic income. Now, according to the movement's press release from the 31st of January, selected beneficiaries will be able to receive their crypto UBI in good dollar, where they will be free to use as they choose. Now, for anybody who doesn't know, we have previously done an episode about Good Dollar. The link to that episode will be included in the show notes. It would be a very good listen for you to, you know, listen to that and get a more well-rounded idea of what the concept of UBI is all about. Now, Karen Jost, the founder of Rightful Share, says the crypto UBI not only expands the possibilities for unemployed South Africans, but also nurtures their entrepreneurial spirit. She also says, and I quote, "We need a new approach to addressing poverty in South Africa. The current system is not working, and we can no longer pretend that there will be enough jobs for everyone. By bringing visibility to the benefits of a digital basic income transfer, we are expanding the possibilities for South Africans and nourishing the creativity and entrepreneurial spirit present in the country." End quote. Well, first off, I am a very big believer in the concept of UBIs. I mean, I feel like it should be a fundamental human right for everybody to be provided for, in the very least, as a human being, for the sake of human dignity. You should be able to afford, in the very least, food, some clothes, and at least have a place to lay your head. That really doesn't obtain for most people in most countries, you know, especially in countries that are, you know, hard hit by poverty and lack and financial instability and all that. You find that the majority of people in those regions can't even afford these basic amenities. And I feel like that is a problem. That is a social problem that UBIs would want to address. You know, if everybody has some sort of stipend coming into them at some point in time within a month or a couple of weeks, then yeah, they do have a better chance at living a more dignified life as humans. So I am totally in support of what Rightful Share is trying to do with Good Dollar. I think it's a good initiative. It's a great collaboration. But I'm just, you know, really curious to see how they implement this, because first off, it seems like a movement that would only benefit people who are already deep in crypto, or at least who know what cryptocurrency is all about. And there again, it would only benefit people who already know what good dollar is. So I feel like besides them trying to get this UBI into people's pockets, they have a lot of work to do in terms of creating awareness and educating people. And I'm rooting for them, and I really hope that this can take off real good in South Africa and progressively to other parts of Africa. I'm moving on to the next headline we had from last week. Nigerian fluid coins sold to UAE-based Blockfinex after failing to raise cash.
Blockfinex has recently acquired a 100% stake in Fluidcoins, which is a crypto payment gateway startup. The acquisition was made possible by Dan Holdings Limited, the parent organization of Blockfinex and a Web3 network and venture fund. The team will continue to work on the product, providing crypto payments. In a statement by Denny Oyekan, the founder and CEO of Blockfinex, this acquisition was driven by, and I quote, "A decision to venture into wallet as a service businesses and crypto payment processing and scale it across the world," end quote. This acquisition effectively gives Blockfinex 100% control of Fluidcoin's products and services. In order to support more than 600 cryptocurrencies, Blockfinex will now use Fluidcoin's wallet as a service product. Fluidcoin's checkout will also be expanded to support more companies globally. What I have to say on this is, you know, I would like for us to get a bit more information as it begins to be rolled out. More than anything, I think, you know, sometimes we unfortunately tend to just get so excited about new innovation that comes across our table. Not to say that a lot of them are not good, because they are. It's just sometimes we do need to exercise caution. You know, if anything, I think this past year has taught us that even somebody who's been around for a while, no matter how big their wallet, you can never truly trust a person. You have to verify above all else before you can even consider trusting anybody, especially with your funds. Moving on to our next headline from last week's news, the government of Rwanda has asked banks to stop handling transactions in cryptocurrency.
I feel like Rwanda has definitely caught up to the trend that is already being practiced in some African countries, where they've asked their banks, their commercial banks, or at least any bank licensed to operate within the country, to no longer have anything whatsoever to do with crypto-related transactions. Now, the government of Rwanda in recent weeks ordered all licensed banks operating within its jurisdiction to stop processing all forms of cryptocurrency transactions. This, the government says, will remain law until it can establish a proper regulatory framework for cryptocurrency-related activities. Now, the Rwandan government is now towing the same path as countries like Zimbabwe and Nigeria, who have also banned banks from handling cryptocurrency-related transactions until further notice. Soraya Hazuki Yaramwe, acting governor of the National Bank of Rwanda, the NBR, said that the decision was made to protect end users, also citing risks associated with operating financial services in an unregulated environment, stating that users do not have, and I quote, "guarantees and safeguards associated with regulated financial services." The National Bank of Rwanda claims it is acting in the best interest of its citizens to prevent risk of irrecoverable loss of monetary assets to fraudulent devices of con artists or other deceptive means. Man, I feel like this is something we've talked about over and over again. And I mean, what is good to know is that they are not outrightly banning it forever. They're only saying that they will do this till they can find some way to ensure that it comes with less of a risk to the people who are going to be using it in Rwanda. And I feel that is a safe bet for them. I'm moving on to the next headline we had from last week. Fundbink launches monetization feature for Africa's Web3 creators and creator platforms.
Fundbink, which is a platform with efforts geared towards rewarding Web3 creators, is launching a monetization feature to serve Web3 creators and creator platforms within Africa. The instant merchant feature allows creators to receive payments in USDC from their digital audiences anywhere in the world. fans and audiences from nations like Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa, Ghana, and Uganda can tip, pay, or contribute prepaid airtime from any carrier to their preferred creators from as little as 2 cents in USDC. Receiving the equal amount in USDC into their merchant accounts is advantageous for, of course, phone bank instant merchants. I am not quite certain how this works, but it sounds very interesting. I mean, I've thought about this before to say, what if, say, maybe you have an account in a different country and you would like to, you know, purchase some airtime. Do you have to go and withdraw it into cash and then go buy the airtime? You know, it's a whole tedious process, which obviously means you have to pay bank charges for you to be able to withdraw, number one. But not only that, you have to pay bank charges because you're withdrawing in a different country. So for this to be something that is being worked on is very, very interesting, because I know a lot of people who, you know, travel across the continent, but also live in one country while they were born in another, which may mean that they have banks in the other country while they're also residing in other countries as well. So it's very interesting to hear of innovations that are looking to fix more, you know, common era issues outside of just the typical with the remittances that we are always seeing every day, which there's nothing wrong with those, but it's just very interesting to see other issues being addressed as well. Moving on to our final headline from last week's news, Africa's first Web3 film, Small Town Burnouts, launches crowdfunding.
The influence of Web3 continues to transcend ever more deeply into the world of media and entertainment. Now, Web3 films have been made with the intention of providing people a proper understanding of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Africa's first Web3 film, Small Town Burnouts, has begun a crowdfunding effort by means of allowing interested person to acquire NFTs to raise this fund. The project stars 2 emerging artists from Nigeria, and the film title is derived from the name of the music band formed by the duo, Small Town Burnouts. I mean, this seems like a really interesting project. First of all, it will definitely help the artist in question gain some recognition, you know, globally, or at least in the eyes of the audience, wherever the movie is played, since it definitely will be featuring them. But more importantly, I like the concept they are trying to use to raise funds. You know, this is one of the use cases we talk about about crypto for good. I mean, them trying to use the sale of NFTs centered about the movie to raise funds, you know, to like produce and shoot and maybe pay people who are going to be on the set of that movie. I think it's a really great initiative, and I definitely would be on the lookout for this movie. I want to see what's in it. I want to see what story they tell, because I can bet it's going to be super beautiful. That brings us to a wrap-up of our headlines from last week. Now, moving on to headlines for this week, we kick off with ChipperCash, where the tech company is laying off staff but keeps crypto operations running.
The Pan-African fintech company ChipperCash has reportedly laid off over a third of its staff. The company's vice president, Stefano Pardi, wrote in a post on LinkedIn that, and I quote, "Friday was a sad day for ChipperCash, as many talented people were let go," end quote. This is the second round of layoffs, which brings it to a total of 150 workers, give or take. Hamza Runjogi, the CEO of ChipperCash, told TechCrunch that these layoffs come after a 2-year period of a 250 headcount growth. He adds that, given the macroeconomic climate, they are narrowing their focus to core markets and products so they can continue to thrive. It seems that although the layoffs have reduced their workforce quite significantly, there is no truth in the implication that they are shutting down their crypto operations. The company was founded in 2018, and by 2021, it was valued at $2 billion after raising over $150 million from investors, including Jeff Bezos's Bezos Expeditions. I mean, you know, I think all of us have come across the fact that there are a lot of tech layoffs happening across the world. But I think that also for a lot of people, we tend to forget that that means tech everywhere, not just the tech companies that are based in the US, because whether we like it or not, whatever happens in the US, especially in industries such as tech, is bound to affect the rest of the global tech industries and economies elsewhere. So it is quite unfortunate. However, you know, I am a bit concerned. What happens to the 150 people? But that's, you know, more from a social and personal standpoint, which I guess we will see. And sometimes there's just not much that can be done. But I do hope that there is a place for them to be able to go to, or some way for them to recoup after that. Moving on to our next headline, Ethereum's Vitalik Buterin makes a second trip to Zambia while the nation looks to experiment with crypto regulation.
Ethereum co-founder Vitalik Buterin was in Zambia last week to continue the efforts of making Zambia a hub for crypto. Accompanied by top Ethereum Foundation executives, namely Vicky Coleman and Yosef Ayele, the team met with the Zambian president's special assistant, Yito Kayumba, and they discussed pathways for boosting crypto development and attracting investments into the state. As Zambia begins its goal to become a regional hub, the Ministry of Technology and Science has declared that it is testing technology to regulate cryptocurrency. According to the Technology and Science Minister, Felix Mutati, and I quote, "Cryptocurrency will be a driver for financial inclusion and a change maker for Zambia's economy." Further going on to say that Zambia is putting in place appropriate digital infrastructure, attracting investments in technology and creating access, thereby positioning itself to be a hub of technology in the region, end quote. Now, these regulations will be part of a larger structure, which will also potentially see the development of CBDCs in Zambia. And Zambia hopes that the expertise of Ethereum co-founder Vitalik Buterin will help them to avoid the same pitfalls that Nigeria has experienced in their attempt at a local stablecoin. Well, first off, for some reason, Nigeria now seems to be the yardstick for every African country when it comes to how not to launch a CBDC. And I think it's good. I mean, somebody had to make those mistakes for everybody else to get it right. But I also think that it's a great idea that Zambia is involving Vitalik himself and the Ethereum Foundation in everything it is that they are doing. I feel like it definitely seems obvious to some extent that they have a lot of support, or the right kind of support they need to get their project off the ground. I mean, what they are aiming for is to become a regional hub for crypto. And I think that they already have the right structure in place. I think they are moving in the right direction. And I think it's definitely an achievable goal for them. So it's really great that Vitalik visited them. I know Vitalik was also in Accra in the past week for the Web3 Accra Summit. And I'm really looking forward to the day he turns up in Nigeria. Hopefully sometime in the future he will. Moving on to the next headline. And this is about the national elections in Nigeria happening today. Nigerians head to the polls, adamant for a positive shift.
The polls have officially opened in Nigeria's presidential and parliamentary elections. The estimated polling units sit at around 176,606 in 8,809 registration areas. Keeping in mind that Nigeria has a population of 213.4 million people, only 93.5 million have registered to vote, 40% of whom are voters under the age of 35. Further whittling it down, we find that 27% of those registered voters are students. For reference, the current president, Muhammadu Buhari, has been at the helm of Africa's largest economy for the past 8 years. With the current ongoing cash crisis, as the country continues, or rather tries, to replace its old currency with a new one under the new regulations, many Nigerians are looking not just for change, but for radicalization of life itself. The Central Bank of Nigeria remains diligent on its mission to encourage the adoption of the e-Naira across the Federation. In furthering this course, Nigeria is in discussions with likely technology partners to develop a novel system to control and administer the digital currency used by its central bank, the e-Naira. The CBN and its supposed partners, R3 Technologies, have denied the partnership claim. However, A spokesperson from R3 hinted that they are currently working to create new features and improvements per the CBN's eNaira. A Mogu Kingsley, who is a local from Nigeria, says, and I quote, "Just because of the upcoming election, they're making us look like fools. We've never experienced the issue of cash scarcity, so I don't know how governments want the citizens of the country to survive," end quote. The current President Buhari, when commenting on the status of the situation, said, and I quote, "I'm fully aware of the current hardships you're facing as a result of some of the policies of the government, which are meant to bring overall improvement to the country. God willing, there will be light at the end of the tunnel," end quote. Now, I'm all for a good quote as the other person, but for that kind of quote feels a bit, I would be extremely disappointed if somebody said this to me when I said I have a problem and your response to me is, "I can see you have a problem and I am hearing your problem, but God willing, there will be light at the end of the tunnel." You know, not to say that it's a terrible thing to say to people. It's just in that situation when one is going through a crisis, I am not sure that that solves much because for a lot of people, you're trying to understand what exactly is going on. And, you know, we know that as we move into this new frontier and as we evolve as our economies and countries, we would have to unlearn everything we know. So Nigeria is very, very cash rich and a lot of things depend on you paying in cash. You pay your taxi in cash, you pay, you know, the market's in cash, and maybe there's a bit of mobile money here and there, but some other situations, like say maybe even rent, you may have to pay that in cash. There's a lot of things that require to be cash, and it's not just Nigeria. It's a lot of African countries as well. So for you to completely stop people from using cash how they've been used to using it and just forcing them to move into this new phase is a bit strange to me as an outsider, of course, but perhaps Nikki, as a Nigerian living in Nigeria yourself, you maybe have a bit more to shed light on when it comes to this matter.
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, cash is staple means of performing most transactions in Nigeria. Like, literally everywhere you go, most people demand cash. Cash first before anything else. And then if there is no cash, then they can offer you an alternative means, or say like maybe pay via POS or transfer or all of that. But it's always cash first. And I don't think that a lot of merchants and even individual, you know, like end consumers were ready for this shift because it just came at such short notice, you know, making an announcement in sometime November or December and then forcing it sometime in January literally gave anybody less than 2 or 3 months to adjust. And I don't think a lot of people took it seriously at first until it actually became enforced. And then everybody began to see how horrible it was, or how horrible it actually is, since we're still living in that mess, to go day to day without cash. I personally haven't touched any cash in a while. It's literally impossible to get cash anywhere. I mean, I'd be shocked if I found anybody with cash. I'd be literally shocked because in my head, I'm going to be like, how did you get a hold of that? Because there is no cash anywhere. So I feel like the government should have probably put a lot more steps in place before enforcing this, you know, maybe encouraging people to get point of sale terminals, or probably doing some education to let merchants know that it's okay to accept transfers or other forms of payments without cash. Because, I mean, I feel like the government didn't do enough just waking up and enforcing something that is entirely new on people who have been used to something else in the last 60 years is not exactly the way to go. So I just feel like they could have done better in their approach to handling this. I know that the whole world is going, trying to move towards a more cashless society, but I also believe that there has to be preemptive steps to ensure that that shift is smooth. And to be honest, the shift for us hasn't been smooth, because it's literally hell when it comes to spending your own money down here.
That last part is what got me. You know, it's hell spending your own money. That's a bit concerning, you know, because, I mean, you want people to spend their money. That's what keeps the economy thriving. That's what keeps it going. If everybody were to hoard their cash, you would be in trouble, like literally. So I do wonder about that. I guess we will have to keep an eye on that and see where it is going. And hopefully, eventually, the government and the people of Nigeria as a whole will find a way that works for the people above all else, outside of just, you know, trying to front run a trend or a frontier in many ways possible. I do have faith, because I've seen Nigerians do some pretty phenomenal things. So I do have faith that a lot of positive results may perhaps come out of this entire process. process, because if anything, Nigerians are very, very innovative people. And that, of course, brings us to the end of this week and last week's news headlines. Once again, we do apologize for the delay in our upload, but, you know, I was traveling and trying to glean as much knowledge and information from the people here in Ghana as I possibly can. I do personally have some fun stuff working behind the scenes for you, so keep your eyes on the Bankless Africa Twitter account, as well as, of course, whatever podcasting platform it is you're listening from. Just a reminder that none of what we share here is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. The goal this quarter, it's almost towards the end, but the goal is to eventually reach 10,000 subscribers or listeners by the end of Q1. So don't forget to subscribe, share, or leave a rating on whatever platform it is you're listening from. And if you get the time or if you're able to do so, please also leave a review, so we can know how best to continue to serve you and what else you would like us to perhaps work on to improve for future news updates. And until next time, be relentless.